You're tuned in to The Dr. Kinney Show, and I'm your host, Dr. Erin Kinney, a naturopathic doctor and speaker dedicated to unraveling the mysteries of your body and guiding you back into balance. Through my years of practice, I've discovered that knowledge empowers healing. The more you understand about your health, the better choices you make, leading you towards recovery. Join me each week as we dive deep into actionable insights and wisdom from myself and top experts in the holistic health community. Together, we'll equip you with the tools to decipher what's happening in your body, why it's reacting as it does, and how to restore harmony in both your body and your life. Whether you're seeking relief from unexplained symptoms or aiming to optimize your well-being, this is your sanctuary. Welcome to the Dr. Kinney Show, where understanding leads to healing. Let's get started. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Dr. Kinney Show. This week, we're going to be chatting about waking up in the middle of the night, which is a common symptom or complaint that I hear from patients. Patients will come in and they'll say, you know, I fall asleep just fine. I don't have any problem falling asleep. I'm very, very tired and I sleep really hard. And then somewhere between 1 and 4 a.m., they are wide awake and sometimes have a really hard time going back to sleep. So I want to delve into this a little bit. And this can be really tricky because you think, I can't really take something before bed because you don't have any problem falling asleep. And sometimes people will try taking something before bed to see if that helps them stay asleep. And oftentimes that makes them even worse. So I want to dive into this symptom a little bit, talk about kind of why the body wakes up in the middle of the night and some of the things we can do to start to help the body stop having that symptom. And the first thing we have to understand is that when your body wakes up naturally, for the majority of the time, it's usually because you're having a rise in cortisol. So if you have a really healthy sleep-wake cycle or a healthy circadian rhythm, typically what that looks like is your cortisol levels will be the thing that wakes you up. And so let's say someone's on a normal circadian rhythm, their body will wake them up somewhere between 6 and 7 a.m. And the body wakes up again because their cortisol level is kind of at its peak for the day. Because again, cortisol is what gives us energy. It's what is going to wake us up. So we wake up with this surge of our good cortisol energy and we feel great. And typically, cortisol levels will naturally start to decline throughout the day. So if you're looking at a graph, and let's say, you know, the horizontal line of the graph, we've got the time of day, right? We've got 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12 p.m., noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m., 9 p.m. On the vertical axis, we're going to have your actual energy level. And this is a cool thing you could do at home if you'd like. You can actually plot your energy levels, and it's kind of an at-home way you can see what your cortisol levels look like, kind of charting your adrenal glands. So when you wake up in the morning, rank your energy level from 0 to 10. And, you know, and that would be without coffee. So it's good to do this without coffee. But so, and typically, again, you should have between an 8 and a 10 when you first wake up. And then it's slowly going to, again, fall off. And it should be at its lowest right before you go to sleep. And so this is what we call, you know, a normal daily circadian rhythm pattern or a normal daily cortisol pattern. Again, higher in the morning, lower in the evening. If we then shift and look at what your cortisol levels should be doing throughout the evening, we're going to see when you first go to sleep, they're going to be low. But throughout the evening, your cortisol levels are actually going to start to rise. And again, when they get to that peak, it's usually around 6 a.m. and that's what wakes you up. Now, granted, this could be slightly different. If you're someone that normally goes to bed at midnight and wakes up at 8 and you wake up naturally, your cortisol peak might be around 8. But I'm going to use this going to bed around 10, waking up at 6 kind of for the purposes of this episode. So again, that's what's supposed to happen in a normal body, in a normal circadian rhythm. We are waking up in the morning from that natural cortisol surge. So if you're someone who's going to sleep between 9 and 11, falling asleep really well, and you're waking up at 3 a.m. wide awake, and this is if you haven't had any alcohol before bed or you don't take any, you know, medications, because there are liver issues that can sometimes wake you up in the middle of the night. But for this episode, mostly we're going to touch on kind of what's going on with the cortisol aspect here. So what's happening when you wake up that early is your cortisol is peaking too early. It's almost like your body's a little bit jet lagged. It's like for example, I'm in LA today recording and, you know, I'm on East Coast time. So I was awake at 4:30 a.m. this morning, wide awake, because at home that's like 7:30 a.m. So, and most of you listening are like, wait, but I'm not traveling to Kenya. I'm just waking up at 3 a.m. in my normal time zone. And yes, I understand that. But you have to think about it. Like, your body's a little bit confused. And most of the time, this 3 a.m. wake up tends to happen for the majority of the patients that I see. It happens when their body is undergoing a decent amount of stress. And so, you know, cortisol, again, is the hormone that our body makes to give us energy to deal with stress. So a lot of times when our brain knows we're in a period of high stress, it knows we have a lot of things to do, your brain is almost protecting you. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to make sure she doesn't sleep in or he doesn't sleep in. I'm going to make sure that I'm awake and I have plenty of energy and I can do all the things that I need to do. So your body, again, it's waking you up a little bit early. Now, granted, we don't want that most of the time. We want those extra 3 to 4 hours of sleep, right? And oftentimes what happens is people will be wide awake. Maybe it takes a couple of hours to fall back asleep because it's as if your body thinks this is morning. So, you know, if you wake up at 6 a.m., and you've got good energy, you're probably not going back to sleep, right? You're awake. And so what I hear from a lot of patients, and I've been through this at points in my life as well, is you're wide awake at 3 a.m. By the time you get back to sleep, it's maybe 5:30, and then it's time to get up again. And this is really frustrating. And then your energy is kind of shot the rest of the day. So, and again, if you're listening and you have experienced this, you know exactly what I'm talking about, and it's super frustrating. But it might be interesting for you to reflect upon a time when maybe you have traveled west and you've woken up early because your body was on a different time clock. It feels very similar, right? So the way we start to unwind this and the way we start to kind of work on this is not necessarily taking something before bed. And this is what a lot of people try. They're like, well, I tried this supplement to help me sleep and I tried this supplement to help me sleep. And they're all things they're taking at bed. You really want to think about, if you're jet lagged, what do we do to kind of get through the jet lag faster? Well, we want to remind the body about the circadian rhythm cycle that it really should be on. So, and I've found there are some supplements that we can help with this. Sometimes I'll have people take melatonin before bed, not to help them fall asleep, because most people are falling asleep okay if they have this problem, but really to just remind the body that this is the time for making melatonin. And so here's the interesting thing about cortisol and melatonin is that when cortisol is high, the body's not making melatonin. They have what we call direct opposing actions. So when cortisol levels are high and the body's making a lot of cortisol, it's not making melatonin. Conversely, when melatonin is very high, the body's like, oh, it must be time for sleep. So we don't make a lot of cortisol. So I will sometimes have people take a little bit of melatonin before bed. And if they wake up, immediately take more melatonin then, because and these are small doses, we want to remind the body that it's not time for making cortisol. This is time for melatonin. This is sleep time. So again, it's really, we're just trying to tell the body that it doesn't need to be awake at 3 a.m. It needs to wake up 3 hours later, right? So I like to use melatonin because in today's world, most of us are pretty melatonin deficient. And this is because we spend a lot of time on screens. The majority of us, you know, we're on computers, we're watching TV, we're on our cell phones, we're exposed to quite a bit of blue light. And the blue light that we're exposed to, it inhibits the pineal gland's production of melatonin. So again, the majority of us do not have as high of a melatonin production as we would if we weren't, you know, engaged with screens or blue lights. Now, you can wear blue light blocking glasses or use the filters on your computer, and those help. But I do find it's actually really beneficial for most people to take a small dose of melatonin. Now, I find sometimes when I tell this to patients, they're like, well, I read melatonin was bad and I don't think I should be taking it. If I take it, I'm going to become dependent on it. I completely disagree with that. You're going to find things all over the map if you get on the internet and read things. But again, because our brains are exposed to so much blue light and we tend to see lower levels of melatonin, I like to supplement with it, especially if you're not going to be able to change your lifestyle habits around screens. The best thing to do to keep our melatonin productions in the best place would be to not be on screens like all day long, like be out in nature. And that's why, you know, most people sleep so much better when they're on vacation. When you're on vacation, you're not staring at your phone. You're not on your computer. You're outside. You're enjoying time with family. Or, you know, you're not getting as much exposure to blue light. So the more you can do of that, that will also have a major impact on this 3 a.m. wake up. And this is not something, you know, if you're like, hey, that sounds great. I don't really want to take melatonin. I want to do whatever I can to keep my melatonin levels the best without taking a supplement. Awesome. you have to make sure you do these practices for a few weeks. It's not going to happen overnight. I just like to remind people of that. Sometimes like people are like, oh, I stopped watching TV before bed for a couple of days and it didn't make any difference. You got to give it some time. So one of my recommendations is definitely don't watch TV before bed. No TV in the bedroom. If you're going to watch TV, have it early in the evening. Have at least a couple of hours before you start your bedtime routine so that we don't have that blue light inhibiting the melatonin production. You can wear the blue light blocking glasses, but so TV kind of messes with you in a couple ways. One, we've got the blue light, right, affecting the melatonin. Depending on what you're watching, oftentimes TV will, you know, trigger our stress response. You know, you might be watching actual stressful TV. Maybe you're watching, you know, NCIS or Law and Order or something to that effect, or there's scary music, or there's a lot of things in TV that can, again, trigger that stress response. And the more we trigger the stress response in the evening when cortisol is supposed to be low, we're going to have an impact on melatonin production, because if cortisol goes up a little bit, our melatonin production is going to go down. So if you're really trying to, you know, get a good sleep routine in, the less TV, the better. Reading before bed is the best thing you can do. Reading, bath, listening to calming music, you know, engaging in human touch with your loved ones, your pets, your children, spouse, snuggling with a pillow, doing something that's like very calming to the nervous system in those couple hours before bed is really the best thing you can do. So doing that, again, and you can do that and take a little bit of melatonin, and that will kind of speed the process up of resetting things. And then in the morning, and this is really key too, and if, again, if you're someone who traveled and you know what you need to do to get yourself out of a jet lag situation, is the best thing to do is to expose your eyes to morning sunlight. So trying to get in morning sunlight before 10 a.m. without sunglasses is super, super helpful. So again, we're trying to tell the brain when it's supposed to be having a cortisol peak and when it's supposed to be having its lowest cortisol point. And so when we get up in the morning and we get outside and we get that morning sunlight, that's telling the body, oh, this is the cycle I'm supposed to be on. So, and if you're living somewhere and it's rainy or it's dark and gloomy and you can't do that, I highly recommend getting a light box. You can get them on Amazon. There's a brand called Verilux. I'm not associated with them at all. They're fantastic. They're maybe $40 to $50. You can have that set so that you expose, you know, your brain and your eyes to that morning sunlight spectrum. And that will, you know, again, keep up with this like circadian rhythm reset that we're working on. Because again, that's the concept that I want you to think about. If we're having that 3 a.m. wake up time, the work we're doing is trying to reset your circadian rhythm. So the morning sunlight, the sleep, you know, ritual before bed, cutting out as many screens as possible, adding in a little bit of melatonin, doing whatever relaxation practices you can in the evening to kind of, again, calm the cortisol levels and boost your melatonin a little bit. That will start to work on things. And then I'm a big fan of taking adrenal support in the morning. So we want to tell the body, hey, this is when we want to have that cortisol surge. Cortisol surge in a good way, right? Again, because that morning cortisol levels, those are what give us the energy that we need. So that could be, you know, I really like a blend of like ashwagandha, rhodiola. Those are my two favorite herbs for supporting the adrenals. You could add some B vitamins, a little bit of magnesium, but taking an adrenal cocktails are kind of, you know, a big thing right now, which is usually a little bit of vitamin C, coconut water, and electrolytes, things that are going to help your adrenals do their job and produce the appropriate amount of cortisol in the morning. We want to tell the body to do that again in the morning, because that's when we want that cortisol surge to be. And if you do, and this is pretty simple, if you do the three things that I just mentioned, the morning sunlight or the light box, if we can't get actual morning sunlight, the sleep routine, sleep hygiene, a little bit of melatonin, I guess it's four things, sleep routine, melatonin, morning sunlight, and adrenal support. After a few weeks, this will reset the circadian rhythm. Sometimes it happens even faster and you'll notice you don't wake up at 3 a.m. Now, if you are also undergoing a tremendous amount of stress, so for example, when I was going through my divorce, I did not sleep very well. I also, it happened to coincide with the early parts of the pandemic. So most of us weren't sleeping very well for March through May of 2020. I was waking up at 3 a.m. quite frequently. And I actually felt not bad. I had a lot of energy. I was like, oh, but over time, that's not sustainable, right? Waking up at 3 a.m. and then not going back to sleep. So during that time, other things that helped that 3 a.m. wake up were whatever I could do during the day to get my nervous system to calm down. If you've ever come to one of my workshops or you're a patient of mine or you've listened to other episodes, you know I love to recommend getting horizontal, or actually I've recently been calling it taking a toes up, as my late grandmother called it. She would go every afternoon, she would go lay down and put her toes up. So she called it, I'm taking my toes up, so that she could lay down and rest her body for 10 to 15 minutes. And so this is one of my favorite simple practices that you can do to help tell the nervous system that it's okay to calm down when you're undergoing a chronic, you know, a long stressful situation. And again, divorce could be one thing, could be you're going through a move, could be you're starting a new job. It doesn't always have to be a, you know, a stressful situation with a negative association. You know, I have a lot of patients right now that have just started a new job and they're really excited about their new job. They're like, oh, it's great. I can't wait to go to work. But it's new and there's a lot of things they don't know yet. And the brain sometimes is a little wary about new things. So their stress levels are a little bit higher and they're not sleeping as well. So again, my favorite kind of lifestyle practice, and I love this one because it's free and mostly you can do it anywhere. If you don't have your own office, you can also go retreat to your car or to another space and like recline. The point is when you lay your body mostly flat, it will lower your blood pressure, lowers your heart rate. It basically, it tells the brain that because the body is calm, the brain's like, oh, all right, I guess I could probably calm down a little bit. I could maybe take a break from this vigilant fight flight state that I'm in this stressful situation. So it's teaching the body a little bit of resilience. And the more you practice this, you know, the more you come out of that fight flight, the better balanced and the stronger your adrenals will be. So again, one of my favorite practices, you can call it taking your toes up, getting horizontal, incorporating that for 10 to 15 minutes a day, really, really, really beneficial. Now, there are tons of other, you know, de-stressing practices, you know, breath work, meditation, Reiki, acupuncture, massage, the list can go on and on and on. And we've talked about, you know, many of the these different things on various episodes of this show. And they're all great and do all the things that you have time for and that, you know, that adding them into your schedule isn't adding more of a stress. But if you're feeling overwhelmed in the current situation that you're in, you're like, I don't know that I have time to go get acupuncture twice a week, or I can't really incorporate getting a massage once a month, whatever it is, you know, you maybe have some stress reducing practice that you love, but right now it might not be accessible. My favorite thing about this getting horizontal for 10 minutes every day is that it's mostly accessible and everyone can find 10 minutes. So that's my favorite little thing. And it's silly. You think, how could laying down for 10 minutes really impact my sleep at night? It really does. Because again, that 3 a.m. wake up, it's like your body is, it's like waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's like, I'm awake. I'm ready to go. We're going to take on the day and do all the things. And we want to tell the body, thank you, or the brain, thank you for being on alert. I'm very grateful that you're here and that you're keeping me safe, but I actually don't need you right now. I need you in about 3 hours. So, but the more we tell the body that it's okay to calm down, the more that it will be able to do that in the middle of the night. It's almost like, to use this example, I teach about this a lot in my stress workshop. If anyone listening has kids and they've dealt with, you know, toddlers or babies, babies tend to sleep better through the night when they take their nap. If they don't take their nap, when you have a baby or a toddler that's overtired, their nervous system gets into this stressed out, wired state and they don't sleep as well. And adults are exactly the same. So the more we push through and the less breaks we take or the less, you know, chill out time we take during the day, the more wound up our systems become. And then when we actually do want to relax, it's harder for them to relax. So this little getting horizontal practice, it's almost like it's practicing relaxing so that your body knows it's okay to chill out. And that when you do want it to chill out, it's like, oh yeah, that's right. I like doing this. This feels good. So it's just, it's similar to like, I always liken relaxing for people that have, you know, been through chronic stress and their system almost feels like it doesn't know how to relax. It's like someone who's never exercised or never run a race before and they want to run a race. You have to train for it. You can't just wake up one morning and run a marathon. I mean, I guess you could, but it would be extremely uncomfortable and be very hard on your body. Same thing if your body's been stuck in this fight flight state and it's been going for quite a long time. And then you're like, hey, I'd like my body to sleep for 8 hours. That feels, even though the body is tired, it doesn't feel normal to the body at that current point. And your brain doesn't really like change. So if the norm has been, I'm on the go, I'm ready to protect you, I'm in this fight flight state, coming out of that is a little bit scary for the brain because the brain's like, well, I don't know, I might need to be on because what if something else bad's going to happen? So we want to train the brain that it's okay to relax is the point I'm trying to make. So the more mini moments or 10 minute practices you can do where you are relaxing, it teaches the brain just that. So All right, I'm going to recap the things that we've chatted about for if you're struggling with that 3 a.m. wake up. We are looking at our bedtime routine, making sure we're omitting as many screens as possible, doing something relaxing in those couple hours before bed, possibly adding in a little bit of melatonin. Like I said, it's one of my favorite things. Again, if you're someone that doesn't love melatonin, you can do all the other things and skip that. But again, I'm a big fan of and low dose, 1 to 3 milligrams. Don't go over that. Lower dose tends to work a little bit better for what we're talking about here. And then morning sunlight. So before 10 a.m. sunlight, if you do happen to sleep in or in a little bit of a different schedule, get a light box because you want to emulate the power of the sun around 10 a.m. And so, you know, expose your brain and your eyes to that. And then do short mini relaxation practices during the day. And the one that we talked about the most today was this 10 minutes of getting horizontal or taking a 10-minute toes up, as I mentioned. Do those things and do them for a few weeks. So give your body a few weeks, but I promise you it will. Oh, I missed, there was one other thing. Sorry. Taking adrenal support. So herbal adaptogens, B vitamins, a little bit of magnesium. Those are my favorite, you know, safe things I can recommend to everyone. Adrenal support supplements. If you're a patient, you know, I sometimes use some other things, but yeah, so adrenal support in the morning, morning sunlight, a little bit of melatonin, good bedtime routine, and getting horizontal for 10 minutes. Do those, give your body a few weeks, and you will definitely see an improvement in your sleep. So thank you guys for listening today, and we'll see everyone next week. Thank you for tuning in today. If you enjoyed this conversation, be sure to connect with me on social media to find more helpful tips and information. You can find me at Dr. Kinney on all of the platforms. And please be sure to subscribe and leave a rating and/or a review. This helps grow the show so more people have access to this knowledge that leads to empowered healing. Love and light, and see you next week.